Joseph Davis, please.
Thank you. I strongly recommend to all the listeners who was wondering why we have so many problems to please go listen to last night's governance committee meeting, the March 8th, 2022 KPFT governance meeting. The majority voted to end the governance meetings. Go listen. Hear what everybody said. These people showed their true character. Pacifica supporters need to know. The governance committee exists to keep us honest, to keep us on the mission of free speech, and to make sure the bylaws that help us use listener money wisely and keep us on mission are given a voice. The bylaws need a voice. They're just words on paper unless someone speaks them and fights for them. Every committee exists so people who care and know about an issue can focus on it. MSR for holding management to the Pacifica mission, finance for protecting listener donations, and governance for keeping us all honest. Honest to the bylaws, our constitution, where we wrote down that what we are for the community and to give a voice to the silenced. It's not about arguments. It's about silencing minority members. Last night, the silencers showed their hand. You better pay attention, or they will continue to infect and destroy not just one committee, but all of them. Most of them have been doing this for a long time, and they usually do their deeds where nobody gets a chance to hear it. Last night, we got a treat to see it openly, so please go see it. We've recently in the news seen killer cops, and the only reason they're held accountable is somebody with a video phone gets to put it on a camera, and we find out what actually happens. So, Tom, people who acted, Tom, thank you for the chance to speak. Good day.
Thank you, Joseph. Sandra Rawline, are you on the call? Sandra?
Okay. Yes.
Go ahead. I'm here. Go ahead, please. 2 minutes.
Hi. Thank you. I was muted. So thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I want to say first and foremost that I'm very grateful for the new people on the local station board who have brought some sense of reasonable discourse and a willingness to work together. And I believe that's what it's going to take. I've been around for a while. I served as in different capacities throughout the years, but most recently for the last 2 years on the Pacifica National Board. And I'm very honored that myself and other members of the National Board were able to work together as the personnel committee to get our new executive director, Stephanie Wells. And I really believe that she will do good work if she's given the opportunity to do so. As far as programming in Houston and the various challenges that we're facing, I would like to say first and foremost, we need to make sure that KPFT Houston has a new home. And I am hopefully optimistic that our local station board and our new executive director will seek out a new location and secure it and build it out so that we can again have another gathering place for Sandra, people who like.
Sandra, I hate to interrupt you. Time.
Okay, sorry. I would like to be back on the stack if I get a chance. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. I put you back on the stack.
Thank
and 832-231-4892, you are on the stack as well. So, thank you. Bob Sullivan, please. Bob Sullivan, are you on the call?
Yes, I'm on the call.
Please, you have 2 minutes, sir. Thank you.
All right. I'm a friend of Teresa Allen's, and
we listen to KPFC.
It's on my car radio all the time. I also listened to your meeting a little earlier, and I got something to say about that. You know, if everybody agrees all the time, most of them are unnecessary, okay? So, yeah, there's in any group of people, there's going to be controversy, and you got to get together and work it out. But I love your music. I love particularly your blues music on Sunday. It's really great. And I'd like to see more jazz, but that's about all I have to say for now. Thank you.
Thank you. P.K. McCary, please. P.K.?
Hold on one second. Everybody, give me a moment.
P.K., would you like me to go on to the next speaker?
Can you hear me?
We can. Would you like me to go on to the next speaker? Do you need more time?
No. I'm ready.
You have the floor. 2 minutes. Go ahead, please.
First of all, the town hall meeting I consider a success, but before I can give you a valid report, we are seeking input from those who participated in reviewing both the chat and the whole Zoom call, which was recorded in a way that will add to the credence, and I want to work with General Manager Franklin about the outcome and measurements that we had for what we think the town hall meeting should do. I may have to ask to be on the stack again if that counts as part of my 2 minutes, because that's a report from the CAB, and I'm the CAB chair. But the statement that I want to make is that the idea of safe spaces is one in which borders on insanity. The country is not a safe place for the global majority, which include but are not limited to one's ethnicity, religion, gender, or place of origin. When power rests in the hands of a few or the gathering of those whose goal is power over others, it becomes an issue that needs resolving. We all have not benefited as equals at KPFT, especially when it relates to the programming and governance. Pacifica is made up of various unsafe spaces. And one of those unsafe spaces, and I'm saying this to all of the board, and it's really important. In 2019, when I did a town hall meeting, somebody called and canceled my reservation at the Montrose Center and said they were me. We had to find another venue. We did. But this time, PK, having somebody Zoom bomb me. Yes?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, ma'am. Tom?
Thank you. PK, I'm going to go ahead and give you a couple of more minutes. I'm going to break the rule here. Please, finish up.
My apologies to my esteemed colleague, PK. Go ahead, PK. Thank you.
Two more minutes.
The town hall meeting was Zoom bombed, not the meeting, but the CAB meeting was Zoom bombed as we tried to plan the town hall meeting with such vicious and vile and nasty pornography that was choreographed and that sent shockwaves to my solar plexus as a Black woman. When you think of what happened to Black women during slavery and sometimes during the civil rights movement, you have to understand that this was very unsettling. And it was target specific to me. I'd like to think that nobody on this call was a part of that. But sometimes the things that you say about people and refer to others about people bring out the crazies. And so we're all responsible for what happened on February 21st. I want you to know that you don't have to do that to anyone because you disagree with them. But if you do it to silence people, which is what I think its purpose was, to get people not to participate, then we have a problem, Houston. We have a problem, KPFT, and it means that some people don't matter to others. And I hope with a fervence of anything that I have ever done to anybody, that I never took your humanity away from you the way it was done to me.
Okay, thank you, PK.
Thank you, PK. And that was an unkind act, to say the very least, and most unsettling. I do agree. Bonnie Solberg, are you on the call? Okay, I guess not. Phone number 832-231-4892. You have your hand up.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, everyone.
I washed the dishes.
Please mute if you do not have the floor. Phone number 4892, you have the floor. Go ahead, 2 minutes.
Thank you. So I would like to see more news and social justice kind of stuff on KPFT again. Everything that's happening with Ukraine, obviously it's being completely overreported, but one thing that's missing is the stark contrast between the treatment of by America of white refugees than its treatment of black and brown refugees. And so KPFT is desperately needed, as it has always been. Also, this rhetoric, I don't know if y'all pay attention. Well, this rhetoric that's going around locally about there's an attack on these bond measures that have been passed in the past few years. It's been easier for people getting a misdemeanor to get PR bonds, which means they basically get released for no money. And so as a result of that being passed, now there's an attack on those kind of measures locally. And so these things are not being covered anywhere. It is KPFT's mission, and it's our duty to cover these things. So I'm kind of just putting that out there. I'm asking Dr. Franklin to consider adding more social justice and news and stuff like that to KPFT. We're being really, really
That's time, Venetia. Thank you.
Can I have a few more seconds because I was interrupted in the beginning?
Yeah, go ahead. 1 more minute, please.
Okay, it won't take that long. Say we're being kind of embarrassed by NPR right now, and social justice talk is very much needed, and it is what my generation and the next generations want to hear. And the last thing I want to say, a previous speaker has said for people, members and listeners to go to KPFTX and listen to March 8th governance meeting. It's about 30 minutes in at around 7 p.m., about 30 minutes in, when there's a motion introduced to basically suspend the governance committee, which is kind of an oversight committee to the local station board. So please take a listen to that, and you'll see who's doing what and what is what. And it's very Trumpian and kind of Nazi-ish. It's very dictator-ish. It just looks really bad. So I hope that some of the people who may have voted yes for that motion maybe take a step back and think about it, and you can always present a motion at the committee to reconsider that motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, back on the stack request, Sandra. Go ahead, please. Sandra Rawlein.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate everybody taking the time to listen, and I appreciate everybody's comments. I just want to say that we are all on the same side here. We want to do what's right for KPFT, for Pacifica, and for humanity. And we can only do that by communicating respectfully and moving forward in a way that appreciates what Pacifica stands for. And I really feel that our new executive director is the person that can help us, who can lead us. And I would like to respectfully ask everyone to set aside your personal differences and your personal agendas so that we can all move in a forward direction. I would also like to ask the local station board to please make it a priority here in Houston to find a new home for KPFT, build out a new station, and make it a welcoming place for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra, and thank you for your hard work last year on the board and national board. Is there anybody else that would like to speak during our public comment period? Bill Crozier, you've got your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Sandy. First, I just want to thank all those LSV members who are hanging in there, and I know it's not always easy, but and helping the LSV to function better, and I realize that's challenging. I'm really concerned about the loss of listeners, members, and donations that we've been we had in the last few years. It's really critical to reverse that trend. And I mean, we have to have a priority. It's that it affects our mission. It affects our survival, just about everything. We need more publicity about our shows. We need to replace shows that are not doing their share to get, listeners and donors. And also just to Dr. Franklin, I'll remind you that you have hundreds of years of experience in your staff. Please communicate more with them and especially listen to the ones who are successful with listenership and fundraising. They know what to do, and I'm hearing from a lot of them that they really would appreciate getting more communication. I know it takes time, but it's really important, and they can help you to succeed and to help KPFT succeed. And I just one last thing I want to think. We shouldn't be striving to be a government with just ever-increasing numbers of rules.
I hate to interrupt you, Bill, but it's time.
Okay, so please support the suspension of the Governance Committee. And thanks to Stephanie Wells.
Thank you, Bill. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? We still have a little bit more time.
Request for information.
Hang on, Ted. We're in public comment. Going once.
Going I'm sorry. Hi, this is Joanne, and I cannot find my hand.
Okay.
Excuse
you
me.
Joanne, you found it.
I want to shout out to Teresa and Ted. And, Marianne, I don't know if y'all remember me. This is Joanne. I used to work with you guys probably 20 years ago. Do you remember Teresa?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I'm so proud of y'all that y'all have stayed so dedicated. And I really, empathize with your problem of raising money because that's really important to survive. And, I've been raising funds for a history museum, and as you know, that's very difficult because they're going away too. So I was wondering, what is the age group of your listening ship? Are you trying to get the Z's generation? That's what I've been trying to do. And I've been trying to get underwriters to underwrite programs. So I was wondering, what are y'all doing? Are y'all doing any research on y'all's listenership and who you're trying to target or get on board?
Dr. Franklin, I'm not going to allow the back and forth here. What I suggest is you email the GM at KPFT and directly with your question instead of engaging in dialogue in this form. But I appreciate your comment. And
good question.
Yeah, it's a very good question and one that needs to be addressed. So thank you for raising it. Please email the GM, and if you'd like, copy the LSB at kpft.org.
Time.
Excuse me. Hang on. Who else would like to speak? I see some hands up now. Okay. So, Ted, I can't call on you with public comments, so please remove your hand. Phone number 832-231. Was that Benicia? Is that you, 4892?
Mr. Chair, this is Sandra.
Yes, Sandra, go ahead.
May I speak again?
Go ahead, yes. I don't have anybody on the stack.
Okay, thank you. So thank you, everyone, for listening.
I thought you just called for number 4892.
Yeah, Venetia, hang on. Let Sandra finish, then you'll go, okay? Thank you. Go ahead, Sandra.
Okay. So I really think this is one of the most civilized LSB meetings that I've attended in a long time, and I'm grateful for everybody for being so courteous. So thank you for that. Again, I just want to reiterate that there is much to be done, and we all know it's not an easy road to hoe. It's a hard task to get everybody on board. but we need to make sure that one of our first actions is to secure a new home for KPFT here in Houston and to work collectively with our new executive director. I think she has wonderful ideas and is very grounded in how to help us. It's not about our individual agendas. It's about doing what we can collectively as a whole for the betterment of KPFT here in Houston and for Pacifica in general. And I really think that we can do that if we all work together. That's paramount. We have to be able to communicate and be respectful and move forward. You know, my grandson, who's 17 years old now, used to attend local station board meetings with me when I was babysitting him. And he told me several years ago, he said, "Grandma, I know how much you love Pacifica and KPFT, but it's irrelevant because I can find the new."
All right, Sandra. Thank you. Venetia,
all right.
It's all right. Venetia Patel Adams.
Thank you. So first of all, Chair, you need to be very, very mindful of what's going on. Public is allowed to come in and speak anonymously. I understand that my phone number is up here, but I didn't say my name. So before this call goes on the archive, please remove my beep out, whatever you have to do, my name and my phone number. I don't want that out there publicly. I didn't consent to that. That is number one. That is most important. So please, please do that before this goes on the archive. I do not want my phone number or my name on there. I didn't consent to that at all. Please be mindful of that. There's really an issue with people on the board not knowing the rules. So that is most importantly, that's actually not why I got back on SAC. The reason I got back on SAC was I wanted to kind of answer one of the previous speaker's questions and also reiterate what Sandra said, is that KPFT is actually kind of irrelevant right now. We don't need jazz or blues or whatever. We all have Spotify on our phones. We can get whatever music we want, like with a snap of our fingers. We need relevant talk, relevant news. That is the kind of stuff that doesn't even exist on the internet. We have to scour it. And it's certainly the mission of KPFT is to be media for progressives, right? We don't have that in Houston. All we have is NPR. That is not what people are looking for. There is a need that needs to be filled in Houston to address a lot of the really messed up stuff that conservatives do that we know they do around the state, especially in Houston. There is a need that needs to be filled, and we can do it. Thank you.
I hate to interrupt you, Ms. Adams. It's time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Venetia.
This is public. Stop doing that.
Listen, Speaker, you can go to options on Zoom and you can put in whatever name you want, including nothing. Please look that up. Your phone number is displayed by your call. Thank you.
I know anybody that else? My number is displayed, else? But I don't want it on the archive. You said my number and...
Thank you. Would anybody else like to comment? I've got time for one more. Sister Mama Sonia, you're now on the board, so please lower your hand. The public has the floor. I got time for one more comment if someone would like to make one.
She is the public.
Okay. Thank you. I don't see anybody else, so we'll move on with the agenda.
Excuse me. I am the public. I was put off the board.
No, Sister Mama Sonia, you were seated tonight. Maybe you didn't hear. We had a member resign, Paula Miller. Okay?
Chair. Mr. Chair, am I still allowed to speak?
Yeah, we have 2 minutes. Go ahead, Sandra. This is it. Last one.
Okay, last one. Here we go. I'm going to respectfully request that everybody put aside their personal agendas and work with each other to move KPFT and Pacifica forward in a way that will be, beneficial to our listening audience that will help us increase our listening audience and in turn will help provide funds that are much needed for this network to survive. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate everybody attending and supporting KPFT and listening. Okay, we're going to move on with the agenda here, and I'm going to ask that Dr. Yes, Adriana, welcome to our meeting. Thank you. Please note Adriana is here, Richard. Dr. Faust, I'm going to turn the floor over to you. Dr. Faust is heading up our grant writing task force. Go ahead. He also distributed by email a presentation to everybody. Go ahead, Dr. Faust.
Yes, Danny, I've just got a few things to say. I'm going to repeat what I talked about last time a little bit. So as far as the previous source of fundings we found, it's the Brown Foundation, Houston Endowment, Greater Houston Community Foundation, and the Holt and Roger Witch Foundation. And so I did get to talk to Robin since last month, and I found out that sounds like Dr. Franklin's actually pursuing more funding through the Brown Foundation. Houston Endowment, its focus seems to have changed. We may be able to write some kind of grant for them, but it may be more of a challenge. I think the one to really focus on is the last one, which is the Holt and Witch Foundation. We did get a fair amount of money in the past, and so it's something I need to pursue. My proposed activities right now, I'm meeting with Robin on Friday. There was some marketing project that was created, and that was funded by Houston Endowment. I believe that was 10 or 15 years ago. Robin has provided me those documents. I'm going to read all those documents. But I also found out through Robin, because she knows much more about this than I do, that United Way has a database for different sources of funding. And you actually have to go there. So on Friday, I'm also going to go there. I'm still looking for funding for Queer Voices. I'm not really sure that Borealis is a good fit for that. And that's pretty much what we're doing right now as far as the funding committee. That's all I have, Sandy.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dr. Faust. Really good work. We all appreciate it. And that goes under goodwill and fundraising both when we're reaching out to philanthropic organizations. That's two of the three boxes that we're supposed to be checking when we have things on our plate. Venetia. Nisi, 52 for 52. We're off and running. Tell us all about it. But before you do that.
I'm so excited about this.
Before you speak, let me just say Frank Pratka, Richard Uzel, Nisi, myself, Dr. Faust, Mac, Lillian Kerr, and Susan Young have all contributed. All 24 members. Come on. It's your turn.
You can add me to the list now because we're not on the list, meaning we ain't giving.
Hey, Berto, you're on the good list. Thank you. Go ahead.
So, I came up with 50. Well, first of all, my background, if none of you know, I've been in public radio since I was 18. I was trained by the best, PBS, San Francisco, KQED. So fundraising has always been a love of mine and a passion of mine. One of the good things about not being chair anymore is that I don't have to be neutral and nonpartisan. But anyways, moving right along, 52 on 52, I came up with that idea because it's a fundraiser that I've done for other organizations. Everybody was emailing me, asking me, what are we doing for our birthday? I mean, that has been the $20 million question for the past month. What are we doing for our birthday? So I know there were no concerts out there or anything like that. So I came up with this 52 on 52, $52. I figured is a small enough amount for everybody to donate. And yes, I did gear this towards the board. We all have to donate. There's 24 board members, one ex officio, Dr. Franklin, there's 25 people. That all of us need to donate. Like, Mr. Faust said, to get grants, big grants, first question out of their mouth, is, what did your board do? Is your board doing, is your board 100% participating? That's the first question they're going to ask. People, we have to come into the 21st century. This is the bottom line to it. We have to come into the 21st century. We have to do fundraisers that don't just say, oh, we're having a fund drive. Nah, we need to do something more creative than that. So that's what I came up with, 52 on 52. To me, I guess it's been successful knowing how we are at KPFT. It started on March the 1st. Today is March the 9th. To this date, we have 16 donors and one sustainer. So there's 7 people. The total amount of money collected as of today, or pledged as of today, is $2,002. We also have my promo that's going on, that's on the air. But one of the things I need to ask you, Dr. Franklin, you the head honcho, I need to hear that promo or some promo at least every hour. Last night, I did listen to KPFT. I'm trying to listen more. It was jazz. That was good. But I didn't hear anything about 52 on 52. Okay. We also have to go into 21st century fundraising. Every time somebody opens their mouth, they talk about the young, whatever the name is. But I'm going to tell you this much. Since I deal with the University of Houston downtown and Texas Southern University as one of the graduate council members for Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, that age group, baby, they like Cash App. They like Zelle. And they like PayPal. They like anything that they can pick up their phone and do good. Oh, you need some money? Oh, okay, here it is. There you go. That's what we have to get into. When I know the website is changing on Monday. And when I went into doing my homework, I'm like, oh my God, can we get some more, we need some more payment methods besides just coming to this website talking about donate. We have to have Cash App. We have to have Zelle. Zelle is already on my bank account. All we need to do is just tell people we're going to accept Zelle. So those are the things that I came up with. And, anybody that wants to be on my task force, all you need to do is send me an email. A lot of people who have, and we're really kind of loosey-goosey, meaning that you give me your ideas, we research them, we see if they're going to be, they're valid, and we're going to put them in play. Anything to raise money. That is the goal, to raise money. So that's kind of my report. I don't really have that much to say because Sandy did a fantastic job of emailing 5252 out there and telling what it's all about. But simple, $52 for 52 years. Out of that 16 members that have donated, a lot of people have given more than $52. Let me just say that. Because if you add multiply 52 times 16, it only comes to $832. And as I said, we have collected $2,002. So that is my report. I will write it. But
thank you, Niecy, and really great work. I really appreciate it. The station appreciates it.
Yes.
And the rest of the board show your appreciation by joining the growing list. Go ahead.
One more thing. We are having, if you want to do a promo, you can call me up and I can tell you what to say or what have you, because Robin wants as many people as possible, just not me, to say, hey, I'm a KPFT subscriber, whatever. Donate 52 on 52 for our birthday or whatever you want to say. We're also doing videos. Oh, and by the way, Robin, I saw that you were on the call. I do have 3 people that are making videos. The other one, you know, I sent you, which is a concert. All of those people are asking 52 on 52, which are going on our website and our YouTube pages. So we're not just hitting people on the radio. Mm. We are hitting them on our website and on our YouTube page. And I forgot to say one more thing. It was another donor on my face. If those of you who know how to go into Facebook and set up a fundraiser, please do that as well. I did that as well. We also have a donor on there, one donor. So it's really $2,052. So that's my report.
Thank you very much. Good work. Yay. I've got some hands up here. I'm not sure. Captain Tom, did you need something? You're not a member of the board.
Yes, I just wanted to mention that I am going to donate $52.
Thank you, Captain Tom. Egberto?
First of all, I already said that I'm doing the 52, but I want to mess with Venetia. Venetia, after this call, I know you're going to be tired as hell, but my show goes on tomorrow, and I want that same kind of excitement on my show tomorrow. So, and you know I do everything by Zoom. So after this call, if we can get out in time, can we do a quick 5-minute video that I can put on tomorrow that I'm going to be preparing tonight? Say yes. Thank you so kindly. And one other thing is that as far as the $52 for the board members, I always like, you know, the kind of programs that I do. I just want to say this. There may be a couple of folks, I don't know, yes or no, that won't be able to do 52. Let's create a policy so that we can actually go out there and say every member gave $52, even if it's works or something, to ensure that everybody can be, so that we're inclusive here. This is not for an excuse for somebody not to give if they have the wherewithal to do so, but to make sure that we're inclusive. And lastly, I forgot what the third item was, and stupidly I didn't write it down, so I'm done.
Thank you, just like a programmer, I'll tell you. Marianne, before I call on you, let me just tell everybody, you can't do the $52, break it up into payments.
Yeah, break it up.
You know, $13.
Like I said, we have one sustainer.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez, you've got your hand up very quickly if we need to move on.
I just want to say thank you, Nisi, you to Mom. And then the other thing is, what is the procedure like for doing the 52? Do you go online? Do you call somebody, or how do you do it?
You call 713-526-5738 or go to kpft.org and hit donate. Donate $52. It will be credited to this program. In fact, donations in the month of March are going to this special initiative.
To this program.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to move on here. And next on the agenda, our new executive director, Ms. Stephanie Wells, is on the call tonight and has been very patient and listening to everybody. And I'm going to give her the floor for about 20 minutes here. Stephanie, thank you. Welcome to Houston by Zoom.
Thank you very much. I want you to know I just donated $52. So, I totally agree. I mean, when you go to board, when you submit grants, I have in other companies and organizations that I've worked with that we may have a great program. We may have the perfect report. We may have budgets that are in the black, but, we don't have 100% of our board members donating, and we instantly get put in the no thank you pile. So it is very important, and it isn't necessary, even if, you know, we had one board member at a place I worked where I had to pull his teeth just to donate $1. So it's really, and it wasn't just so much that, you know, of the total dollar amount. Some places ask the total dollar amount given by boards. Some gifts that are given, you know, on your behalf if you worked with the foundation or a company and it's been given and credited to you, but it's just that you can, you know, we can honestly say that 100% of our board has donated. So it's the 52 for 52 is a great program. It was very easy for me to get through and figure out how to donate. So kudos to you and more power to you.
Thank you for your donation.
Of course. I have, you know, quite a few, obviously, priorities and things that I need to do while I'm, you know, here at Pacifica, but I do want to let you know that the Houston station and KPFT is actually on that top of my list. So I'm focusing on many things, but I am putting the majority of my energy here at the station in LA and then energy toward Houston. Dr. Franklin has been absolutely wonderful and gracious with his time, and he has some great ideas, and he's very well connected within the foundation world and is very enthusiastic with a lot of the conversations that he's had with people that want to make donations as far as individual major donors, local businesses, companies, people that listen to the station on a regular basis. So it is very imperative, as he voiced as well, you know, that we do get a home for KPFT, and that is definitely on my priority list. So I don't have really, I'd be more open to just questions and answers. So I'm happy to open up to that.
I'm going to take a stack. Please be courteous. Hands, please. Ted, I've got you. Thank you. Anybody else? Teresa, I've got you. All right, Ted, go ahead. If you'd like to be on this stack, please raise your hand. If you have trouble with that, try the chat or just sing out, but don't do it while someone has the floor. Ted, please.
First of all, how would you like us to address you?
Oh, Stephanie, please. Stephanie. I've been called Stephen. Anything is fine.
Okay, Stephen, I sent you 13 questions. The first one, and you can look at what I emailed you about a half hour before this meeting. My first question was, are you familiar with the Pacifica bylaws? If yes, do you feel they help provide a roadmap for the foundation? If not, can I persuade you to read and become familiar with them? If there are things you don't like before violating them, please work to amend them. Okay?
Yes.
All of that.
I did receive your email right before I got on this call. I know you sent it prior, but I wasn't at my desk at the time. I was meeting with somebody. But I did get your email. I sent it directly to my to-do list. So I will be looking at those and answering those for you. I am familiar with the bylaws. I have a hard copy of them. I've read through them. I read through them on a regular basis, have little sticky notes. And I don't have any plans on going against the bylaws. And I have had conversations with people already that if there are issues with the bylaws that, you know, we do need to take a look at them on a regular basis to make sure that they are current and updated and work for where we are today and where we need to go in the future.
Baseball players are on strike, but you just hit it out of the park. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you. Teresa Allen, you have your hand up.
Hi. I have two questions. First one is, how often are you meeting with the general managers? And the second question, and maybe if you could briefly talk about your relationship with staff. Second one is, can you name some of the successes of some of the other Pacifica stations that we might want to consider, or a general manager might want to consider?
I definitely want, I've reached out to all the general managers, not as often as I would want to do so far. What I would like to be able to do though is, and I'm in the process of sending out a doodle poll to all of them to try to get schedules so we can have a meeting on a regular basis. I don't want to add more, you know, work to already busy schedules. So I definitely, I like staff meetings weekly, but I know that that's not always possible. But I would like to be able to talk to each of the general managers that's convenient for them at least once a week. And then maybe once a month, we can try to get together via Zoom so we can share best practices. I don't want the general managers to, feel that they're needing to prove something or be in competition with each other when we have a meeting. And I have been, you know, I know that sometimes that can happen when you're working with a lot of, but I used to do this when I was with the YMCA. So we would get a lot of different branches that were come together, and I didn't want the branches to kind of compete against each other because they were working in different markets and they had different needs. But that is my goal, is to try to get everybody to come together and share the best practices as to what is working and what isn't working. You know, some of the general managers do really well with budgeting and numbers, and others not so much, you know, and may not be their forte. Others do well with outreach and staffing issues, and others not, you know, but I do want to take into consideration that each station is different, even though we're working for the same goal. But we do need to get together and collaborate as a team, particularly if there's programming that can work at other stations, that we can do that. I know that Quincy in Berkeley has shared some of his programming here in Los Angeles, but we've edited it as well. So we don't have any pitches for Berkeley, but we can, you know, add those pitches that we need for LA. And we want to make sure that if we are cross-sharing our programming, that it works in that station. So we will be ultimately getting together. I just haven't had an opportunity to do that yet.
Thank you.
Ted, I see you, but you've spoken. Is there anybody else that would like to ask a question? Everybody's intimidated, Stefan.
If I was home, I would have like a cat walking across here, or there'd be a dog at my foot. So yeah, so please don't be.
Yeah, Ted, no, you're not scared. Go ahead.
As I said, I've got 13 questions, but I will respect anyone else who wants to join this. My second question is, the bylaws call for LSBs in Section G of their duties to make sure programming is working with management to meet the geographic and demographic needs of the community. How do you see us working with the GM and you to make this happen? And by the way, in 21 years, I haven't seen it.
Well, we have a lot of things to fix then if it hasn't happened in 21 years. I think that we need to make sure that we have a good open line of communication between the general managers and myself and the listeners and the staff and the programmers. So there's a lot of moving parts with all of this. So I'm hoping that by speaking with the, being on as many calls like this as I can, taking as many text messages, phone calls and emails as I can, that I can, try to answer and try to get a plan moving forward. But, I'm hoping, as we look at the programming, that we are meeting the needs of the community. And that's why when we do meet with the GMs and we talk about sharing programs, is that some of the programs that people are willing to share, again, may not work in this market or may not work in another market. But it's just a matter of listening to our listeners. It's not really, I'm sure I didn't answer it as well as you want me to, but, we'll do the best we can.
I hope you'll think about it. My third question.
Hold on, Ted. Hang on. Teresa, you have your hand up. Did you not lower it last time, or did you have another question?
All right. I'm sorry. I'll speak after Ted's next question.
Okay. Go ahead, Ted.
Do you feel we've been honest with our listening audience, including members, and that they know the current financial situation of the foundation? If they don't, do you think they should? If they should, how should this information be communicated? On a frequent basis, about 3 times a year, management sends out a solicitation. In those, the messages have been circumspect related to our financial situation. Do you think we should be more forthcoming? And with all your background in nonprofits, you should know whether or not being forthcoming is effective. So with that in mind, the question is yours.
I can't really answer if I feel that you've been honest or that we've been honest with our listening audience in the past, because I don't know what has been put out in the past. But with my experience with nonprofits need to be, and I am emphasizing that here as well, 100% transparent. There is no information that a nonprofit has as far as financials that needs to be hidden from anyone. If somebody in every other nonprofit that I've worked at, if someone calls me and they say they want to see a budget, they can see the budget. If they need to see the expenses, they will see the expenses. Granted, taking out any personnel information or contact information for people, but your financials, your tax statements available online, you can dig for them, but they need to be on our website. Audited statements available online. Any sort of financial budget should be part of the those would be part of the 990s that you can find online, and they should also be part of an annual report that is also posted online. So I think that any sort of information regarding the nonprofit needs to be 100% transparent.
Thank you, Stephanie. Teresa?
Hi.
Before you speak, is there anybody else that has not spoken that would like to ask Stephanie a question? Okay, go ahead, Teresa.
Maybe Sister Mama Sonia might want to speak too. My question is, and I think I asked you this question on the national board meeting, and you dodged it.
Okay. Oh.
I want to talk about the Pacifica mission and relevant programming and programming that, I mean, in the last year, I've reached out to some of the longtime members and gotten some of their stories. And some people have been listening for, you know, 50 years. Some people were here when we were bombed off the air by the KKK. So I want to know if you have some stories of any programming that has personally charmed you. I'm assuming you're listening. Is there anything that you've listened to, or do you have any comments about maybe where we should go programming wise, something that fits the Pacifica mission? Any thoughts on that?
You know, I'm stalling everything. I'm going to dodge it again.
I'm
not dodging. It's funny because all we were talking about today at KPFK was programming, you know, getting a younger audience. We're playing, you know, using our archives. I mean, the things that have really moved me the most as I've been listening to KPFK actually has been some of the archival material and really just the being able to sort of relive some of these, you can't have, you know, the whole station with archives, but being able to relive some of these wonderful moments that Pacifica has captured and that we have in our beautiful vaults here, really just to me shows and emphasizes the impact that all of the stations have had on radio and communications and politics and communities for years. So I know that we can't obviously, you know, just air all the archival information, but last night on a phone call that I was on, another listener board, somebody brought up, they told me to ask the stations and ask the general managers, which is a brilliant question, is what are you airing now that is archival worthy that will excite someone like me 20 years from now or 25 years from now, you know, and that's really great. And I think that also is that you can't have, a station that your listeners are happy with 100% of the time. I want to be able to have programming that is going to stir conversations and have somebody say, I don't want to hear that anymore, you know, but where it's mostly maybe because it's making them think in a different way or debate. And so I'm really at a point with programming that I'm just taking input from individuals here in Los Angeles, because again, with the programming, I'm focusing right now on Los Angeles just because we have a lot of changes. We, you know, in the process of trying to find a new GM. So as far as just with the programming, it needs to be diverse. Maybe people that are, you know, I've had a lot of people come in my office today and, you know, sort of say, let's get this program back on the air or let's get a program like this. Maybe I personally will not listen to it, but I know that there are audiences and people in the community that will listen to that. So again, it kind of does tie back to listening to the community and trying to find programming that is going to appeal to different elements of the community. So we're not just focusing on one group or one person. And then hopefully with that programming that's bringing in a different audience, we'll be able to then cross promote it with the show before it and the show after it, and then have them continue to be longer listeners.
Thank you.
Susan, you have your hand up. You haven't spoken. And Ted, I'm sure you have a long list and you're going down. This will be the last speaker. Susan, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Stephanie. Welcome. Like Ted, I think you're hitting it out of the park, and I think you do a superb job at the PNB, despite Teresa giving you a hard time. I am delighted with the discussion about program sharing and with the stations learning from each other. I think the rebuild process that you're going through at K, which I know is really, really hard, you're using it as the opportunity to really think deeply about programming for K, for the system, and things that might help KPFT. I am delighted to hear about your enthusiasm over the archives. And I think that that kind of material, if we can make good use of it on air, can be very, very exciting in letting new audiences know where we've come from. The lack of understanding of history in this nation is appalling. So people who can hear that. But I'd like to ask you, I know the archives have been in serious jeopardy. Do you have a good assessment of how well protected they are and what steps need to be taken to make sure that they're preserved?
I have been spending a lot of time with the archive staff, and the place where the office that I am sitting in now, I actually moved upstairs in the LA office, and I'm right next door to the archives. So I've been spending a lot of time with them. They yes, are completely aware of the need to try to digitize everything. There is partnership that they have, that they're in the process of working with USC and with the Library of Congress, where they're attempting to try to get the Library of Congress has put a deadline out for a lot of organizations to try to get a lot of their older materials digitized in a safe way before 2025. One of the things that, so they have been working at with USC in partnering, not that they would have access to any of the archival material or take any of the archival material, nothing would be handed over to them, but just working in partnership and trying to get the material archived in a quick manner, but in a correct manner. And the only way with the Mike was today was talking about the sticky tape, and the only way that, you know, we're the only ones that can kind of take out the humidity and fix what we need to fix. So he and his staff would actually be working with the folks over at USC, but it's a cost to it. I mean, it originally, when they started with the partnership, that was going to cost roughly about $25 million, but USC's going to go down to about $1 million. And it's not money that we would be paying USC, but just the process of archiving everything. There have been a few grant opportunities that they applied for that sounded like they were written just for our archives. $100,000 on the table for both of these, but because of the finances of Pacifica in general, they were denied. So that's one of the things that we're working on, is meeting with individual donors and trying to put our heads together, even if we move into a foundational world, to try to get funding for the archival materials, is that even though we are all under the umbrella of the 501c3 of Pacifica Foundation, in trying to convince them that, you know, the budget has been balanced for the archives for many, many years. They are making, you know, they have made, since 2016, they've raised over $3.6 million for the foundation just with archive, you know, with archive work. So we're hoping that we can, you know, what I want to do is arrange some face-to-face meetings with foundations and try to convince them that even though we do have some financial issues with the foundation itself, is to try to look at each of these entities as a separate entity, and that it's extremely important that we save the archives, and not just for the sake of Pacifica, but just for the sake of history. So we're thinking about it, and we're moving forward with that. And I know that they're putting together a great deck that we can present to foundations as well on the importance of the archives.
Thank you for that. I was going to cut this off. I said that, but I heard Adriana, who hasn't spoken all night except to announce her arrival. Adriana, do you have a question for the executive director? Adriana?
No, just a second. What I ask, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. What I'm asking, I'm still in the waiting room in the Zoom, and nobody let me in. And
okay,
I'm talking
Otis, if you're listening, please check the waiting room. Thank you. We'll look into that. Thank you very much. Sorry for the trouble. That's technology. Okay, Stephanie, thank you so much for taking time. I know your schedule is 25 hours a day, and we appreciate you making time for us tonight. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.